Walking is the speed of love. Walking is the speed of love. I'm going to unpack that to where by the end of the sermon, hopefully that means something to you. Walking is the speed of love. But I'm going to start us off with a little story from when I was just a boy. I was a little kid, and my best friend lived up a hill and around the corner from me, and I had to walk by this horse pasture. And right on the side of the road, if we go to this first slide here, or this next slide, I guess I should say, but there was this puddle made by like a rut from a truck or something on the side of this road. And right around this time of year, maybe a little later, maybe April, we'd be getting a bunch of rain. And since I walked by this thing all the time, and since I was a little boy that liked to get messy and all that sort of stuff, like I noticed this puddle, right? Because I was walking. And I noticed that what started off as this kind of like murky, bright green goop that was in this puddle, I kept paying attention to it, and I realized like, oh, there's something in all that green stuff, whatever that is. And I started to realize like, oh, there's a whole bunch of little black dots in these little bubbles. And as a kid, I loved amphibians. I loved all sorts of stuff I could catch and hold on to. And I was like, are those tadpoles? Like that was little boy me trying to figure, like, is that what that is? I don't know. And so I kept watching it. I walked by to go up to my buddy Brian's house. And sure enough, like the little black things got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then they get little tails and they start swimming around. And it is tadpoles. You know, like I was all excited. So I'm walking by there every day looking at it, looking at it, looking at it. Springtime, tons of rain. Great puddle, right? It stays there. But as a little boy, I got a little taste of what maybe like family farmers have, right? If I got that concern for like, is it gonna rain? I'd be at school bored and I'd be thinking like, it hasn't rained for a few days. Like that puddle is getting shallow, right? And just like a farmer who's like caring about that rain's gonna affect somebody I care about. That's how I felt about like those little tadpoles, right? So I go check on them, and sometimes I'd be so thankful when it would rain. Or I'd go expecting like, oh man, it's gonna all be dried out. And I get there and think like, oh, like thank God. It's like literally like thank God, not like the curse. Like thank God the puddle's still there, right? So the little tadpoles are making it. And if memory serves me right, that very first year, at some point I came and there was still a puddle there and there was no more little, you know, they get like legs and stuff. I don't know at what point you call them frogs, but at some point they don't really look like tadpoles anymore. And then at some point though, the puddle's empty. It was great, right? I was happy, and I was trying to catch frogs the rest of the summer or whatever. Well, I was a kid, and spring kept coming, right? And I was still walking to my friend's house for the next few years. And I can tell you, not every spring had as happy of an ending to that story, right? So this rut on the side of the road, it would always have tadpoles every year I checked it. But some years I would come, and I knew the life cycle after that first year. And I knew, like, there was a bunch of squirmy black things with tails and no legs, and now there's just mud. They're all dead. You know, like, I knew, like this little, like, tragedy, right? And you might think, why are you telling this whole story? Well, here's the thing. People that drove by that puddle never noticed anything about any of that. But since I was walking by it, there's some truth that got into me at a pretty deep level. And it's a truth that's hard to get. I don't even know that you can get it at the speed of driving. Okay, so as a little kid, when you care about some animals and then you realize like they just like fried in the sun or whatever, like you just, like that just, it's terrible, right? All of us have had some sort of moment where we saw some animal suffering and we had some dark questions about it, right? And it's pretty easy to just like, turn away from it and like stop caring about animals, right? Or to ignore it, or to have some real negative thoughts about God and like, why would God let that happen? But here's the thing that happened to me with that little puddle thing, because I'd walked by it so much, I'd had so many moments of gratitude about these little frogs and about the little rains. Chesterton describes the word gratitude. He says it's a combination of wonder and happiness. And I'd had that over and over, where I like saw God as generous over and over and over with these little tadpoles. So then when I realized that there are real stakes in this world, right? It's not all like a little Disney movie. They're like cute little animals like don't always live, right? Like I saw like this world is can be really cruel and there's real stakes and not everything makes it. And at the same time, I didn't let go of this idea that God is generous. People that drive by and try to catch things in a flash, I don't think they can hold those two things at the same moment. But because I had this like concern that turned into like joy over all these little rains, because I had this happiness over that first spring when all these little frogs like hopped away, then when I saw that suffering, I saw it in a different way. Not in a less realistic way, not in a less brutal way. I cared a lot more about those tadpoles than probably anybody else in the whole universe, right? I was really sad, and I didn't despair. Like, does that make sense? And it's because of that, like, walking. I don't know how you could have done it faster, right? And a lot of us only drive through our life. We're only ever driving. We're only ever going quick because we got to get something in our hand that's going to turn to garbage and because we're in a rush to get old or something, right? So we don't do a lot of walking like this, you know, like boyhood Jake would do, right? And we don't get a lot of like truths put very deep inside of us. Today we're going to be looking at a story in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. If you want to flip there, we'll be in verse 34. But here, people are going to be pushing Jesus for an answer, and they want to know with their brain. They want to understand something. And Jesus isn't going to answer their question, right? He's going to invite them into something. He's going to invite them to walk, really. We'll talk about it, okay? So verse 34, if you were here last week, Jesus has been talking to this crowd. They want him to be king, but he's been explaining to them, I'm the sort of king who's going to die, and they've not really been understanding it. And so they've got this question about, like, wait, we thought the Messiah was going to last forever. We thought there was going to be this king that was going to meet all of our expectations. So they say in verse 34, the crowd speaks up, says the crowd spoke up, we have heard from the law that the Messiah, this like savior king they've been waiting for, that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus had used that term for himself. And they have a question of like, we thought you were this. What you're saying doesn't fit with what we were expecting. And they want a quick answer. You may have come into the room today and maybe you realize you have some sort of problem. And maybe you're convinced if I just knew the answer, then I could fix the problem myself, right? If I just had the next right move, then I could take care of the rest. If God would just give me a little bit of insight, then I'll fix it. If you came wanting that, I think Jesus is going to offer you the same thing he offers this crowd. Verse 35, notice he doesn't answer their question. It says, then Jesus told them, you're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before the darkness overtakes you. There's an urgency here. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. There's a lot that happens in that. One, these people want an answer, and instead, Jesus gives them a pathway to become somebody. A lot of us want an answer to our problem. We don't want to become a whole new person. We don't want to be on a journey to become different. We just want to solve today's problem, right? Another group of us, maybe the same group, we think Jesus is always going to be there, that we can just mess around for as long as we want, and someday later, we always got that on the back burner, right? We'll just pull Jesus out of our back pocket and like, oh, Jesus will still be there. when I'm ready for him. I'll do it on my time. I'm going to mess around and do it my way for a while, and, you know, Jesus will clean up the mess later. Jesus here says, walk in the light while you have the light. There's this urgent invitation that you're not going to always have the shot with Jesus that you have today. And literally at the end of this chapter, he's like, or the end of this passage today, he literally gets away from that crowd. Like, they have their shot to listen to him, and they don't have the same shot the next moment. You're in church right now with a Bible in front of you, hopefully. You may not have the same shot that you have right now this morning later today. Jesus doesn't promise that we're always going to be able to get right with him and everything's going to work out, and right? There's people that used to be in the room here that aren't alive anymore, right? Like, we've seen it here at Maywood. That people expected more time. They expected to be able to get things right. And the stakes, I don't want to talk too much about people that have been in the room, right? Let me throw out something else on this idea of how high the stakes are. So here, Jesus is inviting us to walk with him, to become someone different because we walk with Jesus. And when I was about 14 years old, I got real desperate for Jesus. And I started to do a bunch of things different in my daily life to try to be close to him. And here's what I discovered. My guess is you will discover the same thing. If you will reach out real heavy for Jesus, I started trying to listen to him. I started trying to talk to him. I started reading the Bible a whole bunch. And what I realized is, like, Jesus started saying stuff to me. Sometimes I get this question about, like, well, how do you know if God's talking to you, or what is that like? If you will press in real hard, or like, I want to listen to Jesus, I want to talk to him, I think you'll have the same discovery. Like, Jesus will start saying stuff. Now, here's the crazy thing about Jesus. When I was 14 years old, the federal government would not have put a gun in my hand and said, like, go defend us against the Russians or whatever, right? They'd say, like, nope, you're too young, all right? The state of Missouri would not have put a driver's license in my hand and said, like, go drive to work, right? Basically, at 14, everybody's view, not just the government view, was like, wait, Jake, you're not ready for anything dangerous or anything important. You just need to sit and listen, right? Everybody except for the God of the universe, right? Because when I was 14, Jesus started to tell me stuff, and it had consequences. I hear a lot around Maywood, this thing that's only half true, that, oh, I went through all this bad stuff and I made all these bad decisions, and that's okay because it made me who I am today, and God's done so much and it's so good. And that is half true. Like, it is beautiful, the mercy that God has put into people's life, and Jesus has washed away your past. But there are real consequences to all those years you burnt through. And it's not just consequences for you. So let me tell you about a good and a bad from when I was 14. Jesus started talking to me. I can remember being a scared little 14-year-old sitting at the lunch table, a little orange seat, you know, with a little brown plasticky wood table thing, feeling like a nerd, feeling rejected by everybody. I've preached about this once before, so I won't go into too much detail, but I felt like Jesus told me, like, get your Bible out and read it. And that was, like, the last thing I wanted to do. I was scared of the people around me. And I remember having this, like, super lame, I was not a Christian hero. I had this very lame thought that pushed me over the edge to do what Jesus said, of none of these people like me anyways, so I might as well just keep on God's side, right? You know, like, God, I can walk out of this room with nobody liking me or God liking me, you know? So, like, I got bad options, basically, is what I thought. Like, it's like the lowest level of obedience. God is so humble to accept it. So I got my Bible out, started reading it. Some guy I didn't like, I was a little afraid of, started asking me questions about it. I didn't have any strategy. I didn't know what I was doing. At one point, I thought I was a total failure with this guy. But this guy became a Christian at lunch down the road because of weird little conversations we'd have. And I had no clue what I was doing. But just God had told me to do something, and I, with a pretty lame attitude, just did what God said. And God was able to make some of that. I can remember being in my parents' house on the steps. I could take you to the exact same spot. And I was praying about, should I do this or should I not? And I heard God tell, not heard, like audible, but I knew in my heart, God told me, you can do it, but it's not the best. And my little 14-year-old mind that was after pleasure was like, so that means it's not a sin, right? Like, I'm okay to do it. I'm going for it. It took me a lot of years to look back on what happened from that and realized, I don't know that I did anything super wrong, but I blew up an opportunity with somebody because, I don't know. It's a lot of detail to go into, and maybe you know some of these people from when I was 14, but here's what I will tell you. Alex, this kid I didn't even like at first, got to know Jesus, and his life got to change. Kellen, this kid who was even younger than me, because I made a pretty selfish decision, like I burnt through an opportunity to really help him. And he's had a pretty rough life from last I heard. Like, I've not heard from either one of these guys. I've not seen either one of these guys in a long time. But here's the thing. If I think back to the pond analogy, those, you know, frogs had to mate. They had to find the puddle. All these things had to happen besides those individual rains to get those frogs to live. But I'm also here to tell you, like, if some of those rains didn't happen, like, the frogs wouldn't have made it. And little 14-year-old Jake, and whether I do what God tells me to or not, it had an impact on people like Alex or Kellen. And I can picture their faces. They're little 14-year-old or 12-year-old, like, boy faces, right? And, like, no wrinkles. We don't know what we're doing. And God still has the stakes high enough of, like, if people who know him will obey him, it gives this opportunity to other people to have life in him. And if we ignore him, it can be one chain or one link in that chain that breaks, right? And Kellen made his own decisions, right? Alex made his own decision. I'm not responsible for everything. This isn't like heap guilt up on yourself for everything you've ever done wrong. But what I am here to say is, like, there's real stakes. The Great Commission is a little bit insane that, like, Jesus has actually put a real job on our hands. Like, have you seen the type of work that we do fixing the world, right? And Jesus has given us the Great Commission. This idea of, like, I did all the hard work, but now you guys go tell people about it. You guys go help people actually take hold of it. If we don't walk with Jesus, other people really will suffer. There really are stakes out there. Like, we've seen the positive side of it. We've seen people start to do the next right thing, and they have a great conversation with their daughter. Or they have something awesome happen in their life, right? And imagine if you just burnt through the next decade, like, well, that conversation wouldn't have happened, right? So you're here today, and you're like, man, Jake, what do I even begin to do, right? Because, again, we can't fix anybody else. We can't save anybody else. We can't make it all work. But this invitation from Jesus of, like, walk with me and I'll make you a child of the light. Ephesians 4 and 5, like, gets into detail of, like, what does it look like to be a child of the light? But Jesus has given us the pathway here, like, walk with me. Take the opportunities I'm giving you right now to go through life with me, to go slow with me. Now, I love practicality. So I'm going to bring somebody up here to help us on the practicality. If you're here today and you're like, I've been stuck in a rut. I want to be close to Jesus. I want to become more like Jesus. I don't honestly know what to do next. I want to invite somebody up here. So Amy Williams, I don't know where you're at exactly. Amy, will you come on up? So I'm excited for Amy's testimony today. Because Amy's in a spot that I think a lot of people in the room are in. Amy wasn't selling meth, you know, 2 months ago or something, right? But Amy wasn't living her best life with Jesus. And some of us, like, we've gotten over some things, but we feel super tired and exhausted and overwhelmed, and we don't really know how to break out of the rut that we're in. Okay, so Amy, tell me, What did you change here recently? What did you cut out of your life?
So just a little backstory. For a really long time, I feel like I've been chronically overwhelmed and chronically distracted. And that led me to kind of a spiritually dull life. And so my desire for Jesus grew. Recently, I knew something needed to change, particularly in my spiritual life. And so one day I had the thought that, what if I gave up TV? And I know that seems like such a silly thing, like TV is not that big of a deal. It's something that we all do, or most of us do, is we watch TV and that's how we unwind for the day. Well, I think it got to the point for me where that was a big block or obstacle between me and Jesus. Usually my day looked like I went to work and then I came home and my husband and I did what we needed to do for the day. And then it was like, okay, we need to stop because, you know, American Idol's on and we need to watch that before we go to bed. And so, like I said, I just had this thought, like, what if we just gave up TV? And it was sort of like Jesus just like gently took my face and put it towards his face and said, I want your attention. And so I said, okay.
So I want to just take a little yellow highlighter over that last little thought there of Jesus saying to Amy, I want your attention. Like, if you haven't heard anything yet today, I want you to hear that. Like, Jesus wants your attention. So Amy, start changing that outward physical thing of less TV. What starts to change internally?
I just got really excited about Jesus again, which is a huge deal. I felt like I had a spiritual awakening where I sort of unplugged the power of the TV and like plugged into the power of Jesus. And I was joking around with a friend the other day that I have always suffered from FOMO, fear of missing out, but it's usually FOMO, like my spare time. So at night, I've always been a night owl. I really like my free time at night. And so I was really selfish with that time. And Jesus like totally flipped the script. And now I cannot wait to start my unwinding time at like 8:30 p.m. Whereas like before I would have gone to bed at like midnight. But now at like 8:30 and it's like, okay, it's time to wind down. I'm going to dim the lights and do my little routine. I'm going to get into the word so that I can go to bed by 9:30, which is like I've done that maybe 5 times in my adult life. And that way I could get enough rest to spend time with Jesus in the morning. Like now I get up between 5 and 6 a.m., which is, some of you may do that, but to me that is ludicrous. And I'm the type of person where like I will sleep until I absolutely have to get up to get ready for whatever event I have to go to, and then I'll rush and hurry to get to that event like 1 minute till. And so now I have this really, really special time for me where I get super excited in the morning to have a couple hours with Jesus. And it has really created this vibrant prayer life that I did not have before. I've spent more time on my knees praying than I ever have. And there's just been a lot of blessings that have come from that.
So I've gotten to hear a lot from Amy. Yeah. There's been a lot of changes, I feel like, here recently. But maybe tell us one or so specific, like what's happened on the outside? What's happened externally since this?
There's a few. I've been able to reprioritize my life, which put my spiritual life and my marriage at the top. And Justin and I have had a great marriage, but it has strengthened our marriage. And just the absence of TV has allowed this time that we get to spend with one another to foster conversations that maybe we wouldn't have had otherwise. But more specifically, the other night at the worship night that we had here, someone tapped me on the back of my shoulder and handed me a note, and it said, "Thank you so much for praying." Essentially, what we prayed for, like Jesus had blessed her with that. And that was super special to me because, like I said, my prayer life benefited tremendously from just my time with Jesus. And it's not often that I have gotten to see the fruit of what I pray for. And so that was just one of those moments for me that I think I would have missed out on had I not been way more in tune with Jesus and just was obedient to what he asked me to pray for and obedient to actually praying for people when I tell them I'm going to.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Amy. Yeah. I love Amy's story. And that thank you card, it's like this artifact, right? That if you're driving through life, like you wouldn't even know that you missed it, right? If she was super busy, she wouldn't even know what could have happened, right? There's a lot of things that Jesus could do between now and a few weeks from now in your life that if you just choose to keep it status quo and to stay busy, you won't even know what you've missed out on, right? Like, we don't even see a lot of the stakes, even though it really matters. So I've got one more slide for you, another thought. I talked about this idea of walking is the speed of love, and I got that from this guy. I might be mispronouncing her name. It's a guy from Japan, Kosuke Koyoma. But he has this book, The 3-Mile-an-Hour God. And he talks about people walk at the speed of 3 miles an hour. And he says that God has basically slowed himself down to walk with us. And then when we're rushing to drive from one place to another, to get from here to there, like we're not going at the speed of love. That basically, what he's getting at is when we're trying to accomplish a whole lot by going fast, like we've let go of love. And it's a weird message today to say, like, Jesus is urgently inviting us to slow down. Like, it feels strange to use that, like, urgent and walk. But just like these two people, you see these 2 feet here, they're walking together. If you will walk with somebody and they don't have earbuds in and they're actually talking with you, it's hard for the relationship not to grow. It's hard to not to get to know them better. I don't know if it's TV this week or it's something else, but my guess is none of us came in here with like, oh, I just got so much time on my hands, just looking to fill it up. I mean, maybe somebody, but most of you probably feel super spread thin. There's not enough. Jesus is saying, walk in the light before the darkness overtakes you. We can't control how long that door is open that Jesus has given us today. That Jesus really wants you to slow down and walk with him. You don't have to live out of guilt the next time you turn on a TV, right? It's not about heaping up guilt today. It's about saying, will you clear space for something better? All of us can say no to something because we want to say yes to quality time with Jesus. And if you're walking with Jesus, Jesus is going to make you into a child of the light. You don't have to fix the people around you. You just have to keep walking with Jesus, and he will push you what to do next, how to do it. Final thought for you here as we're closing out. All that stuff that happened with the tadpoles, it was just a rut from like a big truck or something, right? Like there shouldn't even have been a puddle there. And some of you, when you're looking at your life, you just think like, man, there's such a mess. Like I've made such a mess of things. Like how do I even get started? Like, it sounds cute to like cut out these things from my life and to spend quality time with Jesus, but I've got real problems on my hand, right? A truck was going fast and didn't care about staying on the pavement and made an ugly mark on the side of the road. But all the stuff that God does made it this beautiful little pond for these tadpoles at least one spring to like grow up into frogs, right? And strangely enough, made it a spot where like little boy Jake could learn something really important about the world in a way that like could be taken in, right? That like God's generous and like this better buckle up. Like life is going to have some tragic moments, right? But to hold that together, like all that in a way came out of just some inconsiderate driving, right? They're like, if a person would slow down, God is doing so much stuff, even in the messy stuff of life, even in the inconsiderate moments of life. If we'll slow down, Jesus will take that mess and work something beautiful in it. Jesus is inviting you today. Walk through today. Listen to Jesus today. Jesus will do the rest. If you will walk with him, listen to him, do the next thing he tells you to do, he'll take care of things. If you're here today and you haven't even gotten started with Jesus, please talk to me, talk to somebody before you leave the room and say, I want to get started with Jesus today. We don't know how many minutes we have left on this earth, but I know every single one of us has an open door to Jesus today. Let's pray. Jesus, everything in this world this week is going to have distractions. Even in this room, we have distractions, God, and yet we thank you. We thank you that there are kids in this room. We thank you that there are problems in this world, God. We thank you that you are always at work. Jesus, we pray that you would be with us every step of the way this week. We pray you bless us with kids in our life. We pray you bless us with opportunities to see you. Help us to walk with you this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.